United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Fresh ideas for a new Congress. Hello, I'm Jerry Christensen, and this is the Seminary Explores. We welcome Leon Reed back to our microphones today, because we'd like to shift the topic now to actual ideas that could be put before the new Congress and for which we might expect some action. One of the big complaints these days is Congress doesn't get much done, so let's get something done. Let's see what Mr. Reed has to say about what might be possible with the new Congress. Well, we've got some obvious ones, Leon, that are up there, out there protecting Robert Mueller and his investigation and others. What are some of the obvious ones? And then we'll probably ask you to go to one of the less obvious ones so that we can really talk about getting something done.
Yes, one of the, I mean, sort of become the new conventional wisdom in Washington that, oh, let's hope the new House of Representatives doesn't waste all its time on subpoenas and investigation, and hopefully they'll get something done. I'm optimistic that that indeed will happen. I believe there will be plenty of legislation being considered and voted on in the House of Representatives. Much of it, its future in the Senate might be uncertain, but a simple short list of things, I think everybody would agree, yeah, they'll certainly be bringing that up. Mm-hmm. Legislation about Mueller's job,
yes.
The DACA group, mm-hmm. some sort of legislation to reform, protect the Affordable Care Act, infrastructure, minimum wage, the list. It's mm-hmm. not hard to mm-hmm. think of a list. Mm-hmm. These will be widely supported by the Democratic caucus. They will probably, many of them, pass the House. Their future in the Senate is probably mm-hmm. not as certain.
Mm-hmm.
But Nancy Pelosi mm-hmm. can, at the end of 2 years, say, we in the House legislated, did the public's business. And, I mean, again, it's a partisan body. Among other things, she can point and say, look at that do-nothing Republican Senate. This is a game the Republicans
well, sure.
have played
yeah, yeah.
in a superior way,
yeah.
and certainly the Democrats will play the same game.
And we drop back to your previous podcast interview, which I recommend that all of our listeners also refer to, because there we talked about the importance of oversight procedures in committees so that the process can be worked out where legislation can be viewed, supported or not supported by a minority, compromise bills can be introduced and progress made. Let's take some less obvious ones then, Leon, mm-hmm. that may not appear as being all that exciting to start with, and just see how they could affect the total picture. Let's start with something like what, would you think? Agriculture?
Yeah.
Agriculture Committee?
Yes, that's a good place to start, because everybody except a farmer would say, wow, that's a pretty mundane topic.
Right.
Can't be much interesting there. And if you see that there's interesting stuff there, imagine what a committee like Homeland Security, Armed Services, Judiciary mm-hmm. might have on its agenda. A word about oversight. First,
yes.
This is a vital function of Congress. It's been so long since Congress has done it. A lot of people have probably forgotten it's even a function that gets done. But this is the process of holding hearings, investigating, perhaps subpoenaing things. I'm not talking about, say, investigating Trump Tower in Russia, the what we might call controversial Trump issues. This is committees doing oversight of the functions and responsibilities of federal agencies. This can have a powerful impact on the national discussion, also on the agency. Agency heads do not like being embarrassed in public. If they get asked you know, serious probing questions that show that there's problems in their agency. Mm-hmm. They're not going to just shrug their shoulders and say, well, okay, that was an unpleasant experience. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to doing things exactly like we were doing it. Agriculture, to take an example, obviously they deal with things like the Farm Bill. The biggest single funding in the agriculture bill is food stamps. Been a long time since anybody's looked at the food stamp program. Is it meeting its needs? How effective is it, et cetera? Rural broadband is another issue. Since I moved to Pennsylvania, I lived in the Washington area for too long. I've been shocked how few miles you have to drive from Gettysburg before you're back in the 1970s in terms of electronic resources. The internet is not widely available in rural areas. In 1995, the absence of the internet might just have meant your kids can't play video games. Now, that affects every aspect of your life. Your news comes from the internet. If your kid wants to apply to college, that's on the internet.
You're shopping, you're buying.
This is an amazingly important issue that the small towns and rural areas of the country are condemned to permanent economic disadvantage without rural broadband. That's a topic for agriculture to take up. The impact of tariffs on agricultural production. We've read anecdotally that soybeans and some other sectors have crumbled because the retaliatory tariffs have cut them off from large markets. It's one thing to hear that anecdotally, you know, on a, you know, cable news broadcast. It's another thing to have an orderly congressional hearing where they bring in researchers, they bring in college professors, they bring in farmers from Iowa to talk about how, you know, hard it's hit them and build a record. That's what, you know, they used to always say when we were doing hearings, the most important thing we're doing is we're building a record of, you know, facts and opinions on this issue. Mm-hmm. Another issue for the Agriculture Committee that would be a little bit of fun, does raking the forest floor actually prevent forest fires? I mean, again, it's a partisan business, and having an opportunity to poke a little fun at the president would be part of what makes the job of the committee member you know, enjoyable, but it also raises an issue. So just that example illustrates, you know, a broad global hearing on nutrition and hunger in America.
Right. Yes.
Exposés of that in the early 60s changed, you know, the whole organization of the government when the president declared war on hunger. We haven't really rethought that issue. I volunteer at SCAP in the food bank, stocking shelves. And I've been shocked at, I mean, Gettysburg is obviously not a prosperous town, but it's not, doesn't strike me as a richly impoverished town, but the number of hungry people in Gettysburg was a big surprise to me. And the stories they told, do people in your family sometimes skip meals because the money's running? Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, so a good look at nutrition and hunger, child hunger, and those sort of just to illustrate what one small committee could have on its agenda.
A not very sexy committee and doesn't get the paper very much, but could have big results.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking to Leon Reed, who I did not mention at the beginning. I assume maybe you already knew because he's been on a show before. He is a retired congressional aide, and following that stint, he was a defensive consultant. He has also been a teacher, and he is the author of two studies on Gettysburg, monuments, what the monuments tell, and Confederate monuments. And we're expecting sometime soon a book published by Savas Beatty, Combat Engineers with Patton's Army, co-authored with his wife, whose father?
Yeah, it was my father-in-law. My wife's father was the
figure,
the combat engineer. Yeah. It's largely based on the letters that he wrote to his fiancée.
It's going to be fascinating from a great publisher. We talked about what we would call a low-res committee, the Agriculture Committee. Let's take one that might have a few hot topics as an example, Homeland Security.
Yeah,
if you would set aside the obviously big tag issues, where might it go?
Homeland Security is both the Border Patrol type thing and also FEMA.
Yeah.
So you've got issues like global warming and natural disasters. Are we really getting wilder wildfires and more powerful hurricanes? What went wrong in Puerto Rico? How did we manage to screw that up so bad? That question's never been asked.
No.
This is what you get when you get one-party control of all the levers of government. Nobody comes in and says to the homeland, okay, how many meals did you have pre-positioned? Why did it take, you send your aides to look into the problem, so when the Homeland Security Secretary comes in, they know what they're talking about, too. The whole aspect of issues at the border now. A lot of it is just establishing facts and figures. What are the dimensions of the family separation? You would bring in some child psychologist to talk about the long-term negative impacts that this separation can have. One basic hearing that Homeland Security would obviously want to do would just be, what are the basic facts on immigration? Is there an immigration crisis at the border? Are the border towns ridden with crime because of all these? How many MS-13 members really are trying? Are they bringing drugs and disease? The list of questions, we don't know this. What we hear is what people, either the president or people who work for him, tell us. The value of the congressional hearing is there are people studying the issue who have the information. You bring them in. You certainly bring in the Secretary of Homeland Security, and you have a back and forth. So the basic two issues of natural disasters, how well we're dealing with them, what's the predictions about the future, and the broad issue of border protection, ICE raids.
Yes.
I've read, again, you assume that the people you read are telling you facts unless you have a reason not to, but is it indeed true that ICE has changed its enforcement priorities from targeting high-value felons to hanging out at Mexican restaurants, arresting people who are working 12 hours a day in the kitchen?
Yes.
If that priority has changed, we don't know.
Yeah.
We need the facts and figures on the table. But if that indeed has changed just to get numbers up, sort of like the speed trap thing that police stations do at the end of the month, we're less safe than we used to be. Because if we let the heat off, the high-value felons, they're roaming free as we
target,
arrest and deport, Sure, they're illegal, but people who have been in the country for a dozen years and are working hard trying to raise a family. That hearing cannot force the Secretary of Homeland Security to change her policies. But if, in a public way, she's confronted with real facts, not some reporter shouting questions at Sarah Sanders in the White House briefing room, but an authoritative voice saying, no, what they tell you is simply incorrect, or, this is about the way it is. They're basically right here. That has an effect on how the agency's going to run their programs.
So we've been talking in a very enlightened fashion, Leon, very helpful fashion, about how two more or less well-known committees could do an awful lot just by oversight of some big target issues and some smaller ones. Let's close out our discussion today with some of the big ticket items, with just some comments on them. If I can throw them at you and you can say what might be a possible course for this new Congress. We already said preserving Mueller. I think that's pretty clear. How about an infrastructure bill? Is there some infrastructure needs?
Their infrastructure needs are colossal. There will be a great deal of support for the idea of infrastructure. Unfortunately, it's going to be a very hard bill to process, because we threw away the money we might have spent on infrastructure in the tax reform bill. I just read an article on the news this morning that the federal deficit for November was the largest November deficit ever. The numbers that were being thrown around early on were $2 trillion. That money's just not there. But there will certainly be a major effort to consider infrastructure projects. The difficulty of it, if there is, will be funding.
Would you say the tax bill then might be something that would be on the floor of the new Congress?
I'm sure that the Democrats will propose a tax reform bill that overall generates more revenue. This is a pattern that's now been repeating for a generation. The Republicans come in and spike the deficit, and then the Democrats come in and are forced. Clinton had to do this. Obama had to do this. The deficit is hemorrhaging, and the Democrats have to propose a bill to get revenue and spending back in somewhat of a balance. I'm sure there will be a major reconsideration of the tax reform bill.
Veterans Affairs.
Wait times. Outcomes. How bad is the veteran suicide problem? How bad is the opioid crisis? Again, facts and figures. What are you guys up to with this whole notion of privatizing the VA? That's the big ticket hearing for Veterans Affairs. Supposedly, Trump has these buddies from Mar-a-Lago who are sort of working, you know, behind the scenes to try to figure out schemes to privatize the VA. The veterans, even though they'll condemn the wait times and all of that, they think they get superior medical care from VA and consider privatization schemes to be a catastrophe.
So we need to hear from them.
We need to hear from, certainly from them, from doctors, and from people who think privatization is the way to go.
That's the whole idea of procedural.
That's what
hearings.
A hearing does.
Yeah. And then minimum wage.
Yeah, that would be the Labor Committee. It's got a name.
Okay.
They are changing names, but there's
the labor, the old
deals
labor
with
committee.
Labor. Yep. Obviously, a very popular Democratic issue. The Bernie Sanders wing of the party, this is one of their, North Star issues. Again, good policy from a progressive point of view, as well as good politics. You'd like your caucus all to vote for it, and you don't mind a bit if the Republicans in the House vote against it, because there's an election coming up in 2020, and every one of those Republicans will have an opponent who's going to be really happy to point out to the constituents that your current congressman was against the minimum wage.
Campaign reform.
Ooh.
Last on our list, campaign reform.
Yeah, money is such a huge influence in politics. Some kind of movement to undo the damage Citizens United did, mm-hmm. opening up unlimited mm-hmm. dark money. Very controversial issue. Probably the issue where the difference between the parties is less than others, because a lot of Democrats are very good fundraisers, too.
Oh, yeah. So.
But spiritually, the Democratic Party would be more in favor of better disclosure, reducing the power of the PACs. Mm-hmm. One thing, it used to be 30 years ago, big labor was such an important donor the Democrats said, we don't want to cut off that golden goose. The Republicans have been so effective in diminishing mm-hmm. labor that is a very small part of campaign finance, and probably would make Democrats, if anything, more willing to consider serious campaign finance reform.
Lots of new and fresh ideas for a new Congress suggested to us by Mr. Leon Reed, our guest today. He is a retired congressional aide, a defense consultant, an author, and a teacher. For the Seminary Explorers, I'm Jerry Christensen. Have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.